So yeah, that's last. So let me just get the. Okay, so this is joint work with Ufuk, Ari Haitinen, and Otto Toivanen. Ari and Otto are in Finland, and Ufuk now is at University of Chicago. So in fact, it started. We started with a project, and in fact, this project is becoming two projects. Voilà. So that's I am zooming on the first part of something I presented before as a, you know, as a whole thing, because we are in fact developing on each. So the motivation of this project is the following: is that it's a kind of question that the G20 ask, or many people ask: are we using full capacity of society to generate economic growth? And in trying to answer this question, the focus has been most of the time about how are we allocating physical resources optimally. Are we allocating capital goods optimally? Yeah, for the literature, the Clino and Say and others, is allocation of optimal. But there hasn't been much about are we allocating education resources, for example, optimally? Are we allocating means to the people who are best able to innovate? You see, usually in our models of growth and innovation, we assume an homogeneous population. Everybody can be equally innovator. But in fact, people are not necessarily all done to be innovators, all, you know. And the question is, are the resources, education resources, or other type of support allocated to those who would be the most able to innovate? And so, and if they are not, is there a way to capture the misallocation and to say, well, how could you improve the aggregate probability of inventing, the aggregate growth rate, by allocating education resources better? Among people, so there I go straight away. So what I want to do is that I will look at. We have an incredible data access in Finland that would allow us to make progress on answering this question, because we can look at inventors in Finland, and we can find out about. Their family resources, family education, social backgrounds, whether the parents are blue collars, white collar, junior, white collar, senior, and other aspects. We know about IQ, because the males in Finland take IQ tests. Their military service is compulsory, so you have IQ tests like you have in Sweden as well. And we can look at the interaction between the IQ measure and the background measure, and we can look at the extent to which, you know, what is lying behind the IQ and what is lying behind the background, and then look at the interaction. You see, and in particular, you can ask yourself: do the highest IQ people are there those who get the most resources, for example, or not? And how much you would improve by having the education resources or other type of resources allocated to the highest IQ people, for example. So that's so let me just show you some. So here I will mostly show some evidence like this, and this curve is taken from a paper by Bell et al. Bell, Jaravel, Van Rienen, and Chetty, and I think Petkova, I think the last person, and that shows the you know how the probability of inventing depends upon the parental income. And you see, you have this curve that in fact, when parental income essentially it doesn't react much to parental income, except at the very end of the distribution. Well, there you take the elevator big time when you have parents in the upper part of the income distribution, and there it seems to make a huge difference to the probability of the child becoming an inventor. Okay, so that's a striking curve, of course. Okay, that seems to imply that maybe social origins matter a lot, parental income seems to matter a lot. That's a kind of striking curve. What's very interesting is that. Ufuk and co-authors in a recent paper where they look at patenting since 1840 in the US, and I think Ufuk In fact, John Grigsby, remember, those were last year in the same seminar, John Grigsby presented that paper. They look at the determinants of patenting going back to 1840 in the US, and they find a similar pattern on historical data. So what's true for recent US data seems to be true also for historical data in the US. Now you might think, now let me tell you about Finland. So now I play the travel agent, okay? Well, what's about it? Finland. Finland, low income inequality, okay? Finland, high social mobility. Finland, comprehensive public health care and free education up to and including university. You don't pay a cent in Finland from kindergarten to your PhD. It's like Sweden, by the way. And except that the Finnish education system is better than the Swedish system because Sweden had a system like Finland, but they did bad education reform. But I won't talk about that. You know about this. Okay. So they have a fantastic education system. So you might think that in Finland, if I had to draw a curve, you know, of putting on the horizontal axis parental income and on the vertical axis the probability of inventing, you should say, well, you know, since it's such a egalitarian, you know, in terms of equality of opportunity, I should find something essentially flat. You should say parental income should not matter. But big surprise, that's what you get. That's income of father is blue, mother income is in crosses, okay? But in both cases, you get the very similar curve as you get in the US. So that's a puzzle. And you want to somehow go further, try to uncover part of this puzzle, okay? So that's what we are after. I mean, we are after trying to do the best we can with the data we have to understand a bit more about this puzzle. So the first part of the paper, we try to have a first look at the determinants of who becomes an inventor. And so first, if you just regress probability of becoming an inventor on parental income, we will find a significant effect of having parents in the top income quintiles or in the top income percentiles. Exactly like Chetty et al., okay? Bell et al. So that's same as they do. But the thing is that we will find, we have data on parental education, which they don't have in their paper. So when we control for parental education, this goes down a fair amount. So it means that part of the link between parental income and the probability of inventing comes because the higher income parents are also more educated parents, and that somehow influences your probability of inventing. So that's something we can say that they don't have, okay? IQ will further make the thing go down. And when you do an R-square decomposition, you see that IQ matters a lot. And so we will look at the IQ and we will zoom at IQ. Well, of course, IQ, you know, people can say, well, is IQ purely genetic or is IQ socially driven? And there are big debates on that. There is a whole book called The Blank Slate, for example, that some of you might have read, which is just about that. And I think it's a bit of both. I think that, but we are trying to, you see, but we, although some people, I will have, you know, say that some of the tests of IQ are more exogenous to social backgrounds than other tests. For example, the visual spatial is more exogenous than the verbal or math IQ. But we'll have a debate. But IQ seems to matter a fair amount. It has a direct and indirect impact. In fact, we'll show that it has a direct impact on the probability of inventing, and it has an indirect impact because it affects also your education curriculum, which in turn impacts on the probability of inventing. But we will see that at the end. Yes?
I'm a bit confused. If we have equality, so I don't understand the puzzle, because if we have equality, we don't have a straight line there, we should have a point, right?
No, because people differ in parental income.
Right.
So no, equality of opportunity. You see what I mean? You could have parents with equality of opportunity. That's what I meant. So, and the last thing is that the impact of IQ is convex and larger for inventors than medical doctors or lawyers. So that's a bit for fun. I had to present that in front of lawyers. I had to be a bit careful because they didn't like that very much. But that's just for fun. Okay? Sorry?
What is the correlation of parental income and IQ?
There is one as well, actually. Yeah, there is one as well. And that's, we don't know why, okay? So now the second thing is that what we do is that at the end of the day, it looks like both background and IQ matter. So what we try to do is to zoom on those. Okay? So so to zoom on those, and we want first to get to zoom at the IQ. Because there is, you know, some people could tell you, well, whatever you can tell me, IQ is highly endogenous. So the best we can do there, apart from arguing that, you know, you have the visuospatial IQ, which is less exogenous than the mass or verbal, or apart from, you know, mentioning some studies that argue that IQ is pretty exogenous, including one by Thorsten on political economy, where he uses a lot of IQ data, but you know the paper. What we do here is to look at, essentially we should look at twins and correct for twins, because twins are essentially identical in all respects, except that one may have a higher IQ than another. And you control for all family background. Alors, because twins inventors in Finland, you know, it's a small country, you will find two inventors, you know, two twins. What we do there is we restrict to close brothers, you see what I mean? So we look at brothers who have a brother less than 5 years apart in age. So that's the best we can, because if we just look at twins, we have a small sample problem. And we want to look at sufficiently, that's the best we can do, okay? And we allow, that allows us to control for family-specific time invariant on observable, including genetics. And we see that the effect of IQ is maintained when we do that, you see? And whereas the effect of time-varying parental resources is not maintained. So that tells us that there is something to IQ, which is not purely driven by the social environment, or the parental environment. There is something else. That's the best we can do on IQ, okay? Which is more than what I did when I was presenting last time. That's what we can do. We do what we can do. We cannot do more. So second, then I want to make the case that social background matters, because I don't want to appear that it's just IQ that matters, of course. Social background matters. So that's what we do is to detach rearing from resources. We exploit the parents' divorce. And a parent divorce, in fact, we show that it decreases the probability of becoming an inventor. I had a very bad, nasty stepfather, so I can have anecdotal evidence, but I don't want to make you cry, okay? So, you laugh because he's from the same place as Jean-Mario. You see, that shows my thing about social background is not determining everything. the income, we show that income of biological parents matter only when the father lives with child. We show the education of biological parents matter irrespective of whether they live or not with child, and the income of step-parents doesn't seem to matter much. But what's important is that it makes a big difference in particular that the high-income parent lives with the child. It makes a bigger effect. So that shows that there is something on top of genetics. It cannot just be genetics. So that's what we do. So we exploit the step-parents or children who don't live with the biological parents but live with the step-parents, and that to make the case that there is also so a social background that matters. Okay. So that's the part that also we didn't have before. Okay. And then we look at interaction. When we've established, I try to convince you that there is something to IQ which is exogenous, not really endogenous, and there is something to social background, then you may want to look at the relationship between the two. And what we show is that, in fact, there is some complementarity between the two. First, we show that high IQ sons benefit more from father income being high. So so that means that there is potentially misallocation, because whenever, you know, the resources are not allocated to the highest IQ, you lose something, okay? And similarly, high IQ sons benefit more from father being highly educated. So there again, you may have, that may be a source of misallocation, okay? And so that's what we get. And then we show that one child through which they interact is on education, that both IQ and the parental and the social background, they both play into your own education. And we show, in fact, first that when you control for own education, the effect of parental education income goes down way big time. The most of it is because it's an input to your own education, okay? But IQ is an important determinant of own education. Own education is clearly more important than anything else, including IQ. And the importance of an education is robust to having family fixed effect. So even controlling for all family unobservable, including genetics, on education is an important driver. So one channel, so that's kind of policy. You should educate, and you should educate well as much as you can. But of course, the fact that some people will get higher than others, that you should give the same chance to everybody. But IQ will play a role as much as social background plays a role. Okay, so that's the map, and I just tell you, I just go directly to the data, because it's, I don't have much time. So we merged several data sets that have never been merged before. So we merged individual data on income, education, and other characteristics, the equivalent of what Bell et al. Would get from the IRS, essentially, okay, that we have from Statistics Finland. We have individual patenting data. They take it from USPTO, we take it from European Patent Office. But in addition, we have the IQ data from the military, and they gave us this data. Okay? So that's and we merged the three data sets. Okay? So the Finnish data, it's an annual panel constructed from administrative registers of individual firms and establishments. So it's as if you had IRS and DAD, as if you had DGFIT, DADS, and everything together. I mean, to get just the first one in France takes you 5 years. I will have white hair by the time we have only the number, the first thing. To merge the various into the... There, you get it, it's like a sport car. You get it right away in Finland, okay? The second thing is the population census that will give you the information about parental education, socioeconomic status, and income of biological and social parents. Social means non-biological parents. We have then the Finnish Defense Force test results. So you have conscripts that do the military service. You have test scores of visual, spatial, verbal, and quantitative IQ. And the IQ tests are 2 hours multiple choice tests containing sessions for verbal, arithmetic, and visual spatial. And we use the visual spatial, which is the most exogenous, a priori, to social background, normalized by cohort. And the linking to all other data but the patent data is done using individual and firm identifiers. The linking of patent data to individuals is done using the information on individual names, employer name, individual address, employee's address, employer's address, and your application. If no match is found in the year of patent application, we search previous years. We have a very high match rate. So we use data on individuals for whom we have IQ data. And it excludes all women and men before 1961 and excludes all men born after 1985. And that means already a fair amount for Finnish standard is a high population. Okay, so let me show you who becomes an inventor. So, see, how long do I have left? It's a pity that I don't have water. There is no water. You don't have a bottle? Oh. Excellent. Oh, yeah, I can directly, yeah. Excellent. Oh, that's very good. Thank you so much. Very good. Oh, this is lovely. Excellent. Okay. So, this shows already that when you have parents with higher degrees, in particular in science, your probability of inventing is bigger. So that looks, you know, we just look here at parents and parents' education, okay? But here is the... So remember that... What's interesting is that you can look at IQ and probability of inventing. So you see that IQ... So education of parents is a determinant. Your IQ is a determinant. You see, I try to get already a background versus IQ. Okay, but I will do something more systematic here. I will run a linear probability model where I regress probability of becoming an inventor on parental income, socioeconomic status of parents, education of parents, your IQ, and at the end I will also add on education, but at the end only. And so the parental income, I look at quintile, okay, from the lowest to the highest, and when I get to the highest, I go there more disaggregated because I'm very interested what happens in the, you know, between 91 and 95 and 96 and 100. I zoom in the last decile, okay? So parental socioeconomic status, as I said, I have dummies for being your parents being blue collar, white collar junior, white collar senior. And parental education, I look at whether, you know, how far they went down to PhD, and if they have a PhD in science or a master in science or not. And I have a whole graduation on the education of parents, okay? And the IQ is the test at the IQ, and you go from lowest to highest IQ result. So, in fact, that's the result of the regression. So I show the regression in figure. So that's the regression. That's not a scatter plot. That's the result of the regression. So, because the regression, I will show you just subset of the table, because the regression is huge, has an incredible number of rows and columns, but here you have the overall regression, and that's the, I regress here the probability of inventing on the father income percentile, you see? And you see that it very much reproduces the scatter plot. You see the it's essentially, but that's a regression where you have all the controls that you don't have in the scatter plot, okay? Then here, what I do is that I control for parental socioeconomic background. So the curve goes down a little bit. Then I control for parental education, and you see the curve goes down a lot. You see, still you have a relationship, but once you control parental education, it's much less steep than it was before. Okay, and here you control for the individual's IQ. It goes down a little bit more. You see, so you can show these results by table. That's the regression. So here I just show the coefficients on the highest, on the dummy for the parents being in the highest, the highest percentiles. So you see that having a father or mother with a wage between the 96th and the 100th percentile has a significant and a positive effect on probability of inventing. Then I control for the socioeconomic status from a big parent being in the... So you see that already you see a significant effect. If your parents, senior, white color, senior, it impacts positively on the probability of inventing. But that reduces the coefficient. When you control for that, it reduces a bit the coefficient on the father wage, on the father income being high on your probability of inventing. So that's interesting. And then when you control for the parental education, for parents having a PhD, here in fact we control for all parental education, but I just show you the coefficients on parents having a PhD, but in fact we control for all the dummies for all the levels of education, right here. You see that the coefficient on parental income goes down a lot from here, you see? So a lot goes through parental, a lot of the correlation between your probability of inventing and the parental income goes through the parental education. Okay, so that's interesting. So then, and you see a direct effect of parental education. And then here you control for IQ, and when you control for IQ, you see the coefficient going down further, and IQ having a significant effect, you see. That's something you see. Sorry, your own IQ. Okay? So that's what you see from. So the results are robust to using pattern counts as outcome variable, using pattern quality, high quality patterns as outcome variable, using parental income measures over several years, using different scales for father and mother income, using larger samples. So I won't go in detail. So now what you would like to do is to compare with doctors and lawyers. So in the cross-section data, that's the proportion of MDs, lawyers, and inventors. And you see that the lawyers and they have similar curves. They react similarly to probability of income. But behind the similarity, there are noticeable differences. Because if you look at the R-square, you can look at R-square and decompose the R-squares of the who becomes regression. For the regression of who becomes inventor, the regression of who becomes lawyer, regression of who becomes a medical doctor. And what you see is that when it comes to the regression who becomes an inventor, you see that IQ and parental education are the two most important, and IQ by far the most important. You see, that's an interesting thing. Whereas if you do the R-square for medical doctor, that's a bit scary. It's mainly parental education, much less IQ. And when you look at lawyer, it's even worse. But when you put master in science, there, of course, to get a master in science, both IQ and parental education are important. That's interesting. We'll get back to education later. So that's a... Okay, so now we can do a back of the envelope calculation. You would like to ask how the probability of inventing would change with reallocating individuals to say that you reallocate that to the richest father or to all having senior white collar parents or to all having the highest level of education of parents, and to have the highest IQ. And what's very interesting, the baseline here is 100. So if you allocate all children to the highest income, you see you increase by 30% the probability of inventing. If you allocate all children to white collar senior parents, you increase by 14% probability of inventing. But you see that if you allocate to the highest educated parents, you see you increase a lot the probability of inventing. You see, that's interesting. And the very big thing also is that if you assume that all the people were the highest IQ, you would have a much bigger probability of inventing. Okay, so that's an interesting. Whereas you see, for medical doctors, if you allocate all medical doctors to highest income parents, you increase by more the probability of being a medical doctor. Whereas for the IQ, if you allocate to high IQ, you increase by less than you would the probability of inventing. And lawyer, it's even worse. Lawyer, if you allocate all lawyers to the highest IQ category, you don't change, it doesn't affect probability of becoming a lawyer. Well, that's interesting. Whereas income matters more. Okay, so I will look at the IQ. I will go very fast. Because I said there is a whole discussion. All these papers try to argue that visual spatial IQ is very exogenous. I don't want you to review these papers. Okay, what we do here is that we say, okay, even suppose you are not convinced by that, we look at close brothers. That allows us to include a family fixed effect. We control for family time invariant, unobservable, genetic, parenting style, feed resources. And what you see here is that that's the family sample. So we restrict here, from here to here, you restrict to people who have a brother less than 5 years apart. And here we have the brother fixed effect. And what you see is that the IQ is essentially unchanged when you move from the left to the right. You see, that's the main thing we want. Is that even if I control for having a brother less, you see, with family fixed, means that in fact, it's a regression of how much more likely I am to my brother to innovate. You see, everything has been controlled for. And you see that IQ is there, exactly the same. Okay, so that's, whereas in fact, it's very funny that here you find even a negative on the father wage. And that we think there is probably something going with the fact that the second child, usually you give a lot to your first child, you give a less a bit to the second, even though you become richer as you have the second and the first. But we can discuss that. And we think if we control for the order of the children, we would eliminate, and that would also become insignificant. Okay. But the IQ, we conjecture, would remain the same. That's the case we do. That's how we try to get at the exogeneity of IQ. See, that's the best case we do for it. Voilà, that's, you can then always discuss it. Alors, now we look at now we go to my stepfather. Okay, so here, alors first, if you do a scattered, you see, you may think that, here that would imply, you would think that social father income matters similarly to biological father. But when you do the regression, we see that things are different. So here what I'm doing, and I don't want to spend too long, because I will just show the interaction later on. So here is the no family structure. So there I have the regression I had before. And there here, I add the fact that I have no biological father. So if you have no biological, dummy for no biological father, and there you see that it reduces the probability of inventing. That's interesting. The genetics has not changed, but you are not with your biological father, and you don't. Alors now you look at people who are only biological parents, but then you look at people who have multiple parents, and then when you have multiple parents, you see that whether the biological father is not is with the child, you are okay. His income matters, but when the biological father is not with the child and you are with a stepfather, you see, this cancels out with this. The income of the father matters much less, of the biological father matters much less. That's an interesting, and you have also a negative effect of not being with your biological parents. So there is something to the fact that you don't only want to have the father you have, but that you want to be with your father or not to be with someone else. That makes a big difference. So that shows, that points to the socioeconomic playing a role. It could be that your father gives something genetically to you, But there is on top of that the fact of living with your father. So that makes the case for the you know, for the socio-economic part to be important. Okay. So now that I've shown the two parts, then what I can do is to look at interaction. And so that's the interaction, and the important thing is that you see that there is an interaction between the father wage and the IQ. Not only IQ matters, but the interaction, it interacts with the wage. And that remains true when you control for family fixed effect. You see the family fixed effect, the brother less than 5 years, you can redo all that in the interaction and controlling for these guys. And you find this interaction being very solid. That points to a misallocation, we believe, you see? In fact, you can do the following exercise. I won't be long now because I know that I should, give the example. You can look at this table and you can contrast moving two sons from having the lowest income father to having the highest income father. So if you do that at average IQ or at top IQ, so in both cases, you will increase the probability of inventing. So if you take an average IQ, that's by how much you increase the probability of inventing. If you take a top IQ, that's by how much more you increase the probability of inventing. So the ratio is 4.2, it suggests potential misallocation with respect to high IQ individuals. I mean that you have the fact that, anyway, it's never good to have inequality between parental income, but it's all the worse that you have this variance in IQ, you see? That you are potentially misallocated because the fact that people don't have the same IQ. If all people had the same IQ, the misallocation, you see, that's evidence of misallocation. You have a number of cases where very high IQ would do extremely well with highly educated, high background parents, but they just were not lucky and they grew up in families without this income and or without the education. Okay, so just to finish up, the on education, when I control, I didn't control anything. You have, that's the relationship between parental income and probability of inventing. Here I control for socioeconomic background of parents. Here I control for parental education. Here I control for IQ, and here I control my own education. When I control my own education, it becomes essentially flat. So everything comes, in fact, through my own education. IQ and social background matters essentially, because it those are inputs to own education. So you see here you control, I start exactly the first table, but I added a fifth column with own education. When I control for my own education, you see that IQ still matters on top, but you see that the income of the parent, now it's 10 times less than it was before. You see what I mean? When you control for your own education, you see that the parental income, father income, mother income doesn't matter anymore. Father income matters very, very little. Parent education matters much less than it used to. And still IQ matters, but most of it is swallowed by your own education. So IQ at the end has a double effect. It has a direct effect through, on top directly, but it also affects through, because IQ is an input to education, as I mentioned before. So that makes IQ twice having an impact. But socioeconomic has an impact besides IQ, okay? So here you can look, I complete my partial R-squares. You see that when you put education accounts for most of the probability of becoming an inventor. It swallows everything, you see? But then without education, you see that IQ is the main thing, followed by parental education, and the rest are not very important. For MDs, it's mainly parental education, and for lawyer as well, much less IQ that's important. You see, that's... and then you can again do the reallocation. If you reallocate to the highest, but you find now that inventor, you increase by that much. If you allocate to the top income, in the whole regression where you also control for on education. But what's very interesting is that if you allocate to everybody to the highest education parent, you see you increase the probability of inventing by a substantial thing there. That's an interesting thing that you find. You see what I mean? And of course, if everybody had a master's in science, there you would have a huge probability of inventing. But that, in turn, we know depends on education, social background, and in fact they complement each other. You see, that's the picture that you have. So we can do a number of things, and I will just conclude. Impact of parental income matters even after controlling for other background.
Estimated impact greatly diminished when parental education and own IQ are controlled for. IQ matters more than all family background combined. IQ has a direct and indirect impact through education. Impact of IQ is convex and larger for inventors than MD and lawyers. IQ and own education results survive if I put family fixed effect. The parents' divorce decreased probability of inventing. Income of biological parents matter only when living with a child. IQ and father income and education seems to be complements, which points to a possible misallocation with respect to high IQ individuals. In terms of policy, education, that's what you want to do. I mean, you really want to have a very performant education system. My feeling is that you have a very egalitarian one in Finland, but not for very long. So maybe over time, you will see that the impact of having with this big investment in education will end up mattering increasingly. But I think that's a kind of key lesson there, is that, of course, you want to invest massively in education in a way which does not exclude the high IQ, which gives a maximum opportunity for high IQ people to be part of the system, not be excluded from the system. I think that's important.